Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600. And thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
Oh, my friend. Are you just so tired this morning? How are you?
No, actually, we're still energized and good morning. And it was an eventful day into early morning at the state capitol today, yesterday into today. Yeah. In the Senate.
So just want to let you know, Senator Wong, I have kind of blocked off some time this morning to be able to talk to you while you are traveling back our way. So we will break for traffic and weather, but we're going to do a double this morning as long as you're available for that.
Absolutely. It's an important subject matter. And we did vote on the House Bill 6004, which is an act concerning police accountability. Mm-hmm. And I will offer this, Melissa, that everyone in the Senate agreed that the issue needed to be addressed, one part due to the George Floyd criminal murder, and two, acknowledging the social justice concerns that has been a historical systemic part of our history as a country and as a state.
Absolutely.
So we are all unified, both sides of the aisle in the Senate chamber agreeing that this is an issue that we needed to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we approached it, and it was a emotional and a highly charged issue. But I'll say this. I will simply point out that the dialogue, debate, and the mutual respect, despite the very strong differences in the opinions and how we voted, that won the day. Regardless how you felt, we demonstrated diplomacy, respect, dialogue, and debate. That has been missing in some of this dialogue, as we have seen Monday in Fairfield and through the emotion of what we've seen debating this issue.
So what do you mean by that? So you mean that, like, in, you know, when you guys were in session, basically, it was really both sides listening and talking. It wasn't just talking at each other and not really seeing where each other's coming from?
Absolutely. And that's one of the missing components, I think. That's why I think really won the day. Whether you won the vote or you lost the vote, the reality was we provided a diplomatic process solution of exchanging of ideas, offering highly charged emotional issues and feelings to be able to brought forth and document for record and for sharing in a role that I think that serves one of the critical roles for us as a representative of the people that elected us as their senator, is that we have to be statesmen and that we have to exchange ideas and be open and receptive, be passionate, be emotional, and be forceful. But at the same time, respect the process and the decorum of public policy and debate. And,
sure.
And I really thought that needs to be reiterated, that really won the day, that as we debated many hours with many emotional thoughts and challenges and debate.
So you didn't feel like Republicans were kind of, because I know in the past when we've had you on the show, you've mentioned that sometimes things are done behind closed doors, and it seems like Republicans are sort of left out because the majority are Democrats.
We went into the Senate debate with one hand tied behind her back as a Senate, because the House, in their decision in closing the session, that literally anything that we made a change to, even if it was the greatest improvement, would deem a good bill dead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the unfortunate part. But I think the other part, truly, no, the Senate Democrats controlled the agenda. But we were given an opportunity to voice issues and concerns. And was the vote counter to what the Republicans would have liked it? Yes. But we got a chance in a forum where we asked questions, we raised issues. And you know what? What was interesting as well is that some of the Democratic senators who voted for this bill all shared reservations about the process, shared reservations about the hastily put together legislation that had a lot of room for improvement. And so for all of them, even though they voted for it, really insisted and repeated often that this is still very, very much a work in progress, and we need to be very sensitive of really dangerous potential unintended consequences in reality and also in perception that may impact people's behavior and actions.
Right. My question would be, because I think we heard that actually during Paul Pacelli's show yesterday, he had Steve Strafstrom, if I could say his name correctly, on the show. And that was kind of something that Steve had touched on, was he was saying that, you know, we still have a year to sort of work out any, you know, misconstrueds or anything like that. And my question would be, so if we have a year to do that, do you mean that we can either add or eliminate stuff to this bill, or no, essentially, we really can't?
Well, I hope we do. And it'll be very difficult. It would require, again, a meeting of the minds. You have to understand, for us to be in the special session addressing this highly charged emotional issue, it may be a lightning striking once, and I hope that we continue to really believe in the process in which all the shareholders get an opportunity. We're in an unusual COVID environment.
Right,
it was
right.
Really odd in the building because everybody's socially distanced. There was nobody in the Senate chambers during the debate except for the proponent and the advocates. So it was really surreal, and there was nobody there.
You were saying that it was sort of an odd setting being in the Senate chamber because, let's face it, with the pandemic, most of it was, what, virtual?
No, actually, we actually physically went in on almost a single file, you know, individual basis, cast a vote. It was very orderly, but it was given the highest precaution. Everybody wore their masks. It was a surreal process, but it was one that was well measured and practicing all the social distancing and the risk reduction that we can undertake. But no, we were there. Everybody was there virtually, physically. It wasn't virtual. We were there physically, and we cast a vote right at our seat and then immediately left the room. So, but it reflected the unusual situation that led us to this.
Yeah.
We didn't have a traditional public hearing. We didn't have an opportunity. And I want to compliment Senator Winfield, Senator Kissel, and Representative Strafstrom and Representative Rabinowitz, the leadership of the judiciary, who did their best in such a short time span with such emotionality. I want to compliment on their good work in doing the best in a difficult situation. That being said, I think we all recognize that more needs to be done to get all the shareholders to feel as though they can have a piece of say and offer the advice that's necessary to craft a bill that is viable, sustainable, and legal to challenges that may be coming down the road.
Senator, how do we ensure, though, now that this has passed, you know, how do we ensure that people don't retire, law enforcement don't retire, we have issues with recruitment? That was the big scare, if you will, with this bill.
Well, that is part of the challenge of why I voted no and asked for the governor and the legislature to begin the process in earnest to get all the shareholders in. But unfortunately, the passing of this bill may create a chilling effect because the perception, as much as people say that it won't be implemented for nearly a year, the perception then becomes reality for law enforcement officials who have to look over their shoulder. The removal of qualified immunity. I know it's been a legal term that's been moved back and forth, debated, questioned, answered. But the problem is the law enforcement officers, who I have great respect and appreciation for the hard work that they do, have to make split-second decisions on the street.
Right.
And public safety is paramount in that for themselves and the people that they're aiming to protect. The fact that they may perceive that they are open to liability and litigation may be a chilling effect for them to do the best job that they can under very extenuating circumstances. But what I also learned in the debate is it was also an emotional charge for racial justice, for a history of profiling and negative behavior to men and women of color. And for me, I'm an Asian American. I understand that, but I cannot fully fathom as a black American man or woman that they have to live in an environment where they feel such scrutiny. So I learned a lot that not only was there a sense of urgency in pushing for that, that they felt a moment to be able to have a greater voice. So again, as I said, what really won was people listening to each other, mm-hmm. people learning from each other. We may not have to agree, and we didn't. But at the same time, we didn't shout over people. We didn't derogatory attack people. We're better than that. And I'm glad that we as a Senate in this emotional debate led the way by demonstrating that, because you can be forceful, you can be passionate, but you can also be very respectful.
Do you believe, before I let you go, Senator, that there were things that came out in the chamber that maybe police across our state should see before they take the action of we're leaving, we're done, we're not staying with the police industry?
Well, I think my hope is the governor still has an opportunity to make a final decision, even though he's given every indication that he will be signing this bill. My suggestion to the legislature and to the governor that upon signing, that he reiterate the legislative intent that we are looking forward to incorporating all shareholders, to use this as a framework to make it a better bill, to engage in discussion that continue this positive process that we began, that we should not be basing our decision on emotionality, but rather on a process that incorporates all the shareholders, that can make an idea that is very important, essential, but make it better so that everybody feels though they have a say in it. That's good lawmaking. That's good public policy. That is a good way, and the best way, I think, we represent the interests of people that sent us up to Hartford.
All right. Well, Senator, we appreciate you taking the time early this morning to check in with us again this week about this, and really great work. And certainly we will be checking in with you as we usually do on Monday. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. And sleep is way overrated.
Yeah, you're telling me. That's why I've stayed on a morning shift for this long. I hear you.
Well, thank you very much. And be safe and healthy, everyone.
Thank you. We appreciate that. 8:10 right now. And we are checking in this morning with Jeanette Herron and Michael DeFilippo, who are both with the Bridgeport City Council. They've been on to keep us afloat on what's going on with the Christopher Columbus statue that was formerly at Seaside Park. And welcome you both back to the show this morning. How are you?
We're fine.
Very good. Good morning.
So last night there was an emergency meeting. The mayor had called on it. Now, this was something, Michael, I want to start with you, because last week I know that you had sent me over the letter that was sent to the city attorney. Is that what prompted this emergency meeting last night?
Yes. So we were going to file a writ of mandamus. It's an action that would have been filed in the Superior Court. And at that point, a judge would have ruled that Mayor Ganim called the meeting.
Okay.
Lawfully. Legally, you would have been legally bound to call the meeting.
Gotcha.
At that point.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what happened last night?
So we had our meeting. First of all, let me just say it was chaos. We had originally 14 people sign on to the resolution. A lot of infighting back and forth. Some people, they're playing like political jockey. They don't really want to make a commitment. And basically, everybody agreed that tonight the Parks Board, the commission, is going to rule on whether to put the statue back up or not. And that's what we're waiting for now.
So, Jeanette, weigh in on this a little bit. Did you feel like last night we made any headway with the situation, good or bad?
Melissa, my true opinion is, one, that was not an emergency meeting. After 3 weeks of trying to get the mayor to do a meeting, and I feel that this was because we did the paperwork on Monday, he was forced to do a meeting that he didn't want to do. It was clear last night with the behavior that was shown, not only by the mayor, but other council. The whole purpose was to have this the Parks Commission to give them their respect. And I think that was the sole purpose, and we have that tonight. let's see where this turns. You know, my whole idea is we are elected officials for one reason and one reason only, to support the community, to do what's right for all, not just for one. And the mayor is not the only body in this city that makes the decisions. The legislative body works hand in hand with him, and people need to understand that. And I know people were angry. I know some of the community is angry, but understand this was done to make sure this council will get their power back, because obviously it showed last night we don't have it.
Why do you say that?
If you look at the behavior of the mayor last night and taking 3 weeks to do a meeting that, if free council requests it, wasn't done and adamantly said he wasn't going to do it, it shows that, you know, we need to work out another plan as a council, and I think all my colleagues agree. We need to get back into the swing of doing what we need to do for this community, not for our own personal views. We represent everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe this will be a breaking point that we can do that again.
Talking this morning with Jeanette Herron and Michael DeFilippo, who are both with the Bridgeport City Council, we are staying as up to date as we can for you about the Christopher Columbus statue. So it sounds like we kind of have two issues on our hand now at this point. We have, where does the city council even stand with kind of having any leverage on anything with the city going forward? That's one issue. But then the initial issue of what do we do with the Christopher Columbus statue? So do we have any headway on that? You know, what came out of this meeting last night, or are we kind of relying on the Parks Department at this point?
Two things became very clear last night. One, the Parks Commission is going to rule tonight whether to put the statue back up at Seaside. That's the first thing. This all started out as a statue and representing our constituency and making sure that everybody has a voice in the conversation. The bigger issue this has turned into, at least from my point of view, and like Jeanette said, I think a lot of our colleagues on council agree, the mayor has no respect for the council as a legislative body. I mean, for us to have to threaten legal action against this guy, and then finally, you know, after begging and pleading, he calls a meeting. What is that? Even at one point last night when the meeting was divulging into chaos, he said, hey, there's an election in 3 years. Until then, I run the meeting. What is that? The attitude was just poor all the way around from the get-go. From the moment he took the statue down all the way to now, just disrespect.
Do you think that at this point where we're at, especially with, because we've had the mayor come on, he'll be on again at 9:30, and he says it's getting really political at this point. Do you feel like it's become a he said, she said situation, and we've sort of lost control over what to really do with this statue? Or do you think that this actually kind of opened up, you know, a bigger issue that lies in the city?
Melissa, I think with having commissioners and having elected officials as ourselves, there can't be as much control from the administrative office. And I don't think it is a political situation. I think this is a reality here. And historically, people have said, and we've read it, we've heard it, that the council are rubber stamps. I truly don't believe that. I mean, because I know I'm not, and I know my colleagues, most, I know they're not, but I think they get caught up, and we all get caught up. And we have to work collaboratively with the mayor, and, you know, I'm not saying it's political at all, and I'm not working with my emotions either. I'm working with what my community asked me to do.
Mm-hmm. You're doing your job. Right. Right. Would both of you mind just staying on the line for just a quick minute? Because I'd love to be able to pick this conversation back up, or at 8:35, actually, if you guys don't mind, we could pick this back up again. I know that, like I said, the mayor's coming on at 9:30, so he's got about 10 minutes to be able to talk about this a little bit more. I just don't want to cut you guys off.
So I have to get back to work, or I have to go to work, so we'll be able to get back on.
Okay, no problem. So I will keep in touch with both of you, and we'll see what happens with the Parks Department tonight. And certainly if we need to, you know, have you guys back on tomorrow morning, we would love to do that. But thank you guys for weighing in on this. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Melissa, for having us.
Connecting this morning with John Krasinski, who is a local here and doing an amazing effort to help out veterans. Tell us about what you are doing to help out, and where did you get the inspiration?
This all started probably about 2015. I came across this event that happens in Boston every summer in July. I'm a big Red Sox fan, so this event actually takes place at Fenway Park in Boston. It's a 9K or a 5K, and to raise money for the veterans, the event is called Run to Home Base. Basically, the race itself starts outside of Fenway Park, runs all through the city, over the bridges, past MIT, and then the finish line, you enter back into the stadium and you cross over home plate as the finish line. So back in 2015, I randomly discovered this event because I love doing community service stuff. I love raising money for different groups, especially our veterans. So this one seemed perfect, especially for a Red Sox fan. So I signed up back in 2015. Back then, my first time I did it by myself. The second year, I got my brother-in-law, John, to join me. And then he joined me again the next year. And then the last 2 years, I've done it by myself again. But basically, every year, I do some kind of raffle to raise money for this event. And the items in the raffle, normally in the past few years, the items include some kind of baseball ticket. Unfortunately, this year, I wasn't able to get the baseball tickets, obviously, because there's no baseball. But it was pretty awesome. I know a lot of companies, a lot of restaurants were struggling this year. A lot of them closed. A lot of them weren't opening at all because of the virus. So I was still very impressed that I was able to get 8 donations here from local companies. I got 4 restaurants, 1 brewery, 2 baseball stadiums in Connecticut. So I got a lot of donations from different companies.
Yeah, and they're not shabby either. Like, I'm looking at your list. Colony Grill, you've gotten here. Yeah. 7 Seas in Milford, which is delicious. Bar Taco, also really awesome. So, I mean, not shabby at all. Really great places.
Yeah, a lot of them are local stuff. Cause I live in Milford. So some of them are 7 Seas and Mr. Max are in Milford. But they also got other locations. Mr. Max is also in Monroe. Colony Grill, they have 4 locations in Connecticut and 1 in Port Chester. Bar Taco, I think I looked up, they have 21 locations across the U.S. So actually, one of these sponsors is Athletic Brewing Company, which is a non-alcoholic brewing company in Stratford. And I'm part of a Facebook group where people just post all their different non-alcoholic beers and non-alcoholic beverages. And one kid, I'm pretty sure he lives in Florida, he saw my post and he actually bought raffle tickets, even though he's all the way in Florida. So
he said that
if he wins, he's going to just take the case of beer from Athletic Brewing Company, and then he said I can, raffle off the rest of the items to somebody else. He reached out saying that it's a great cause that I'm running, raising money for home base.
I think that's so neat. Again, talking to John, and he's doing a big effort to support veterans. Is there any reason in particular, besides obviously this specific event that really touched your heart, why veterans?
Both my grandfathers, they were both in the Army. My grandfather, Grandpa Dick, he is still alive today. He's 95 years old. He was a World War II Army veteran. And my other grandfather, Grandpa Chick, or John, he was also in the Army. I also have dozens of friends that are in the military. I was in a fraternity in college. And again, dozens of brothers that are all veterans or still serving. Lots of family that are in the military. And I'm a big supporter of the military. Proud American. They do a lot, and especially during this time, we're seeing a lot of struggle going on in the world. Using my time to still encourage people to donate and raise money for this organization, and I'm still trying to raise money. Normally the deadline for this event is due by the end of June, but I'm still just trying to raise money. And actually, for the last 3 or 4 months, I've been getting candy from Costco, and I've been selling them for $1. And I have them set up in the front of my work. So when customers come up to the desk, they can buy candy. And it's got a sign there saying that the money is going to home base. Got a good amount of donations so far just from the candy sales the last few months. And then the raffle is usually the big item that I do every summer.
I love that. Is there a way for people to donate online?
Yeah, actually, if you go to the home base website, or I have a shortened link if they want to just go to my fundraising page. That's www.bit.do/RTHB2020. That will bring you directly to my page. But also on there, you can click on the home base website to find out more about home base and see where the money's going to. And it has all different pictures and events from the past few years. And it's a really great organization, great event.
Awesome. John, thank you so much for what you're doing. And we'll direct people to that website immediately. Thank you again.
Awesome. Thank you so much.